Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dana, are you filling up a tall one over there?
I got two tall ones going on over here.
Oh, wow. Been up for
a while. I might even have to have a tall can after.
Oh, okay. I got you. Something that comes in the 24-ounce variety?
Yes.
Like two cans stacked on top of each other and melded together?
Oh, man, that actually sounds awesome. I might pitch that idea to somebody.
Yes. Well, they do make those in the, I think, in the beer type world, don't they? I assume the tall cans are 24 ounces. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
But you said stacked on top of each other.
Well, they look like them. Yeah, they're big. I'm not talking like a 40, which is a whole different world.
Well, that's a whole heavy, other situation.
That's like glass and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like two cans. Maybe they could make them so they pull them apart.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that they, just put a little glue between the two. That way, in case you're only thirsty for 12, the other 12 are still good to go.
I like this.
Yeah, like a little like the old style NASA rockets, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, where it's like three sections on a long tube and they just kind of break off as they're done. Yeah, I'm thinking.
That sounds awesome.
For your drinking pleasure. But,
it's going to be that's going to be a lot of Uber rides home.
Yeah. And that is the way to do it, everybody,
Absolutely.
Be safe.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Thinking of safety, how was your weekend? Was it a safe weekend?
It was definitely a safe weekend, absolutely. Yeah. How about for yourself?
Yeah. No arrest, no nothing, I know. No, it's
nothing at no rest at all?
No. It was restful. No arrests. But plenty of rest.
Excuse me.
And then that whole hour, I thought I was waking up too late on Sunday. No, I was waking up way too late on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Once the clocks were all set back.
You
or set forward.
That happened.
Uh-huh. I mean, I'm down now to just two clocks, the microwave and a clock above my sink, and all my watches that have to be reset.
Okay.
Everything. I sat down to look at the TV. I'm like, oh my God, how late is this? And then I remembered what it was.
Yes. I actually did pretty good this year. Because how our cell phones, it'll automatically adjust the time. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I was actually up.
Okay.
At that time.
Oh, okay.
And so, it jumps from what? You go from 1 to 3 o'clock?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So, I made the adjustment okay. We're out of control. Now, as far as clocks are concerned in the house, we're out of control. We have like, I'm counting right now. We have like 5.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
We have 5. And mom's already on me to, to change them,
It is Tuesday, You've had 2 days, Dana.
I can't keep brushing her off.
No. Just get it done. Otherwise, guess what? We're going to be talking about this on the Friday show, aren't we?
And most likely, I have a feeling there's a 95% chance that's going down.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Well, then we can talk with our interview subject, Anna Faye, when she comes on the show and ask her about her clocks.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe this is something that, for those people that don't want a full-time job, this would be a good part-time job. You got a job twice a year.
Back.
Yeah. In fall, you help people turn their clocks back or their watches. Again, when you have like 6 watches, you got to do some work.
Mm-hmm.
And then spring, you help them spring forward.
Absolutely. And it's just our love for analog. What can we say?
That it is. Very true. Well, talking about analog and analogous items here, what today is? Today is Newsday.
The news.
So let's give our listeners some news from around financial aid and higher ed. So before we give away any free time on the show to FSA and NASFA, who always get it, let's look to our friends at University Business Magazine. I found an interesting article there saying 98% of college applicants are stressed about financial aid. Who could have guessed? A new Princeton Review report states financial aid and debt are the top worries of students and parents working their way through the college application process. 98% of the more than 14,000 participants say they will need loans to afford college, including 82% who said it will be extremely or very necessary to borrow. Beyond the financial aid and borrowing worries, here's an interesting number from the survey results. Nearly 70% of students said they would consider attending a college more than 250 miles away from home, and 16% would consider a college more than 1,000 miles away. Parents who responded to the survey, though, didn't quite have the same feeling or worries, apparently, as their students when it comes to going far, far away for college. Especially, you know, during these trying times where it seems like people are trying to stay a little closer to home. So for more on this, check out the University Business Magazine article online at the link we'll include in our show notes.
Well, Dennis, I just saw an interesting article about how the University of California at Davis is offering $75 staycation grants to students who stay in town for spring break, which is at the end of the month. Students must apply for the grants, and 2,000 students will be selected to receive a gift card to a local business. With nearly 40,000 students, those aren't bad odds. Why are they doing this? It's meant to promote smarter behavior in regards to controlling the spread of COVID. See, if students stay in town during spring break and don't go to massive events in other states or countries, let alone return to home and reengage with family and friends, they could help slow the spread of the pandemic. UC Davis has done this type of program before, having offered similar grants ahead of Halloween, hoping to keep students to participate in virtual activities or activities with their housemates instead of going out to larger scale parties. So, Dennis, are you going to give some grants to our students or me to stay in town during spring break?
Well, Dana, you know, that does sound like a great idea, but I don't have the money this year. And in our students' cases, you know, we didn't have anyone living on campus as far as we know. Well, other than, you know, other than that one brown bear that ran through campus. back early in this COVID times.
Yeah.
And I was watching the news, you know, and saw this brown bear. It's like, oh, look who's there.
Yeah. And I was going to say, or maybe some other wildlife that may
true.
You know, we made their homes and our offices, our cubicles.
Very true. We probably have trees sprouting through the floor. No, we don't have the same reason to give out grants to people to stay in town. I assume you're going to be staying in town like all the other staff members are going to. Be safe close to their home.
Yes, that is absolutely right.
But
yes,
I like the idea of this, you know. Keep students who are at a residential college.
Oh,
keep them on campus so again that they're not going down to, you know, let's say Florida or Mexico and potentially mixing with thousands of other students.
Right. So,
good idea.
That's a very good idea.
So Dana, $75 though. You know, that's nothing compared to $40 billion.
Oh, my word.
That's coming our way. But all of us. So the figure, I guess, is actually $39,584,570,000. That's in the carve-out part of the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill that recently made its way through Congress and onto President Biden's desk. And it's been signed, I believe. So. The $40 billion extends the Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund, or HERF, as we call it, through September 2023. So what are colleges and universities supposed to do with the new money? The bill that passed Congress suggests at least 50% of the funds be used to provide emergency need-based financial aid grants to students. So similar to before. We can use the funds to cover any component of a student's cost of attendance. We're also expected to conduct outreach to students about the opportunity to appeal for more financial aid due to unemployment or other circumstances affecting family finances. So I hope our college and district, along with everyone else that listens to the show that works for one, you know, that gets and uses some of this money, hopefully to cover the administrative costs of doing all this extra business. You know, we want to help students through the FAFSA and the Dream Act process. We want to help families through the appeal process, or what we might call review of income, etc. But if we're hamstrung by not having the additional resources for these functions, I believe the feds and the schools may have to share in the blame why this extra workload is going to take extra long, longer than we want it to. You know, I'm not saying this to protest or threaten. I say this as a reminder to everyone out there who can talk to their administrators that, you know, just simply adding this requirement to the bill, which is a great idea. We do want to reach out to students, you know, doesn't create suddenly time and resources. So make certain you out there in financial aid land, talk to your administrators and such to make sure you have the funding to do this extra work. Anyway, before I dig myself in any kind of hole here, we're going to post a link to this article from the CNBC website into our show notes for everyone to read.
All right, Dennis. So did you see that NASFA along with the, here we go with the acronyms here, the ACE, ACCT, College Board, NACUA, NICU, and CHIA created a new website called the Student Aid Reference Desk. Yeah. So they call it the Ref Desk, was designed to provide everyone from financial aid professionals to college admission folks and more access to direct links to information on financial aid regulations, legislation, research, and more. You can browse by term or check out the trending topics. Looks like a great new website for everybody. You can find it at studentaidrefdesk.org.
Yeah, it's a nice little design. I took a look out there. It's pretty well laid out. You know, again, nice work there between NASFA and every other organization that's out there, apparently. and you can see all of these in case you want to know what is the ACE or NICUA or NICU, any of those people. The links will be on that website, too. Because it says, you know, our founding partners or whatever. So you can figure it all out on your own. You know, though, along with the new website from NASFA, our friends at Federal Student Aid, or FSA, are working on a replacement for their IFAP website. IFAP, or Information for Financial Aid Professionals, as it's known, is a site for all of us at colleges when it comes to finding reference materials relating to our field of work. The site has it all. It just takes a bit of time and energy to find everything you want. But it was announced during the federal update presentation at our recent CSFA conference that IFAP will be replaced with the FSA Partner Connect website, possibly by the end of the month, too. I don't know how we missed this, but there was an FSA electronic announcement back on February 25th regarding this. The website, fsapartners.ed.gov, is supposed to launch on March 28th. It will serve as the foundational platform for FSA's partners, including colleges like ours. It will have a knowledge center, which will replace most of what IFAP currently offers. You'll see a new look and feel, a streamlined presentation of information, and improved search capabilities, which, Dana, we can attest to, could only get better. So thank God for that.
Absolutely, yes.
And you're going to get an improved FSA handbook presented in a more user-friendly format, including a digital version on top of the current downloadable PDF version, and a partner dashboard, which will allow authenticated users to view a summary dashboard with snapshots of data related to their school or organization. This includes metrics like communications, notifications, news, and other data based on your role at your organization or school. The dashboard includes links to other FSA websites, including NSLDS, COD, and FAA access to CPS. There's more, but let's leave some of this to you as a reader to dig through the electronic announcement yourself and check out the link for the upcoming launch of the FSA Partner Connect website. And Dana, I think at this point, seeing we've had such a fun time with the news, we should maybe take like a little bit of music of a break.
You got it.
All right.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
That's right. It's time to fill up so we can start with even more fantastic news.
Yes.
All right. Go at it.
Oh, man. So, Dennis, that was a lot of information you just gave us.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I believe FSA is holding training, including webinars, tutorials, and other training opportunities to help you and everyone else learn how to navigate the new FSA Partner Connect website. Live webinars will begin the week of March 22nd. Mm-hmm. Training opportunities will be available through the Federal Student Aid e-training website. Training will include live and recorded webinars and the other items I just mentioned. For directions on how to access the training, check out the link to the electronic announcement we'll include in the show notes. And for direct access to the FSA training site, go to fsatraining.ed.gov.
Have you ever used that website before? Have you done any of the online stuff with the Department of Ed?
Of course I have.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, so this is their warehouse site of all their training that links up throughout the year, because they do offer quite a bit of stuff. So I can't wait for this one, because I would like to see how this new website's going to work.
Me too.
And anytime you have to offer training on how to use it, you know you're dealing with
that the
government site.
I didn't say it, but I'm glad you did.
Because you remember back in the day when you had to do that webinar on how to use Amazon.com? Oh, wait, no, it didn't exist. No. Why? Because it was Amazon.com.
Oh, man. Yeah. I hope. Okay, so I'm going to say something, and I hope it doesn't take us down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But sometimes I wonder, the individuals who create these sites, do they ever really think about the user interface?
Well, you know... again, without going too far off track, like we're about to, right? So much of this does hearken to the fact that if there's profit motive, you might spend a few extra dollars to make sure your product is useful and people can get to it and use it. I mean, unless you're a scamster, in which case you just want to figure out how to best trick people, you want them to come back regularly. Again, like the world of Amazon and others. And so you put money into this. And so this was something that I know somebody in our administration at our college always likes to hearken to, how we have to work on our college website and how it's so bad and badly laid out and all. And then he brings up Amazon. Well, one day, just for fun, I was trying to look up how much money does Amazon put into research and development every year? And it is something like $13 billion. So let me hearken back to our college that puts in negative money, because we don't even, our two webmaster people that used to keep our website up to date as they could now are part of a shared resource pool at the district level, which means we don't have the same type of access. So in other words, we have less or nearly nothing for resources, and instead we're always just told to please check your website to see if they're up to date. That's easy for us, because we know where our website lives. Do you think everyone on campus knows where their office website lives?
Oh, man.
No. So $13 billion.
Man.
Which means you are constantly looking to ways to improve and keep yourself. It's almost impossible to type something into Amazon and get a wrong answer or a page that says, oops, and then you got that puppy sitting there staring at you I guess that page your thing doesn't exist.
Yeah,
because it exists. It does exist. Or their website will find a way to take you to something that looks like it exists. You type in, wood pencils number 2, and you'll get exactly what you're looking for. It won't be oops, we couldn't find that exact word match. Whereas if I type in something wrong, like I spell Pell Grant with an A on a federal website, they're going to be all confused. What's a Pell Grant? And then it'll just say, sorry, unavailable or whatever. So, yes. $13 billion or nothing.
And
we wonder why. And again, and those people are paid experts. So we have now how many paid experts on our campus? Zero.
Zero.
And how many in the district? Maybe 2 or 3 or 4.
My word.
For 9 colleges with 9 websites and a district website that all have thousands of pages. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a whole nother rant.
Yes, exactly. So we can all we can rant at another time. We may just have to have a dis LACCD episode, and we'll allow people to call in anonymously and share their stories again. And
yes,
again, you know, like any organization, I'll put that out there in case Mar Chancellor Rodriguez is listening or anyone else. There's good and bad. There's a lot of good. But then when we wonder why we don't have great websites or we don't have great response and all, look at where we're investing our money, okay? We've gotten, it's the same thing that it happens at every campus is we build beautiful buildings, mm-hmm. right? And then what we kind of forget is, oh, we have 50,000 square feet of space, which requires at least two custodians and an extra person in the facilities world. Mm-hmm. Are we going to hire any of those people? Heck no. That'd be extra money we didn't think about. So why is the building looking so shabby so quickly? I wonder why.
I wonder why. Yeah.
Well, you know, let's go back to training. At least training's fun stuff. You get to learn stuff, right? So thinking about training, knowing how I always have made it a priority for you, Dana, and all the LA Mission Financial Aid team to attend the training you want, maybe it's time for you all to start applying the knowledge you've been gaining over all these years. So on April 21st, NASFA is having their quiz show for financial aid peeps. It's planned as a webinar, but it will be a live quiz show emceed by Kochi Vaughn, who is their regulatory specialist over at NASFA. If your college out there is a NASFA member and pays for the Value Plus level membership, or your college has separately paid for the webinar package, you're good to go. Members who are not signed up for either the webinar package or such can buy in at $120, and non-members can buy in at $240. However you enter, though, I hope you have a lot of California Community College financial aid professionals out there entering and making it to the finals. So for more information, go to nasfa.org/quiz_show. I'll put a link in the show notes for people, seeing that's kind of a long website.
So, Dennis, thinking of webinars from NASFA, they've partnered with the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Inspector General, or OIG, to offer a webinar on how you can help find or reduce coronavirus response fraud. Apparently, criminals are targeting coronavirus response funds, including prying on students, schools, and federal, state, and local government agencies. The OIG, through its Special Investigations Unit, is working to identify, prevent, and stop these criminals. The webinar is free for NASFA members, it appears. For more info, we'll include a link in our show notes, as the web address is pretty long.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It's like COVID and the word webinar. And stuff that. Yeah, so we'll include it. It's a NASFA link to, again, another webinar available for you. All right, so I think we're down to the last piece of news here. So one last plug for NASFA. Otherwise, we'll have to charge them, for advertising on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
For sure.
So NASFA recently posted a nice little chart that compares the three different HERFs, or those Higher Education Emergency Relief Funds, that account for federal dollars coming to colleges. So HERF 1, which was part of the original CARES Act, included $14 billion for colleges. That money we all received last spring, and we just spent all the last dollars in the last week or so. So that's good. HERF 2, which was part of the CRRSA Act, it stands for something, I can't remember exactly, that gave us $23 billion to the colleges. Now, this is the money that came in late December, signed by the outgoing president, as we were just working, you know, and we've worked through how we're going to spend most of that money, too. Now, HERF 3 is part of the American Rescue Plan, or ARP, A-R-P. And that's the new funding that's providing the $40 billion we talked about earlier in the show. So here's the good news. Beyond the sheer amount of money falling from the sky, NASFA's comparison chart helps you understand the allocation formula and the requirements for how much you must use for student grants, including a breakdown of which colleges are going to receive the money, and there's even more. I think this will be a great download for all of us to share with our administrators on campus, whether you are the direct contact and overall grant administrator for your HERF funds at your school or not. Considering the considering the differences among the three HERF funds, you really need to get on top of this in case you get questions from your administrators or from staff, faculty, or students. To make your life simple, we'll include a link to this PDF at the NASFA website in our show notes. So yeah, it's a nice little read, and it's a nice summary to help you understand where all these money is coming from. So Dana, you know what time it is again.
I know what time it is.
Time for a little bit of music before we roll into our last part of the show. And just like that, guess what? We are back, everyone, for the last sip. So, Dana, take the last sip off of that gigantic bottle that you had earlier. Yeah. Whatever was in there. It looked clearly some sparkling water, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it was sparkling water.
Yeah. Boy, you said that really quickly to make sure I wouldn't throw people off the case.
Yes. I don't want my brothers and sisters out there to think that I have a problem.
No, Dana doesn't have a problem. Although she does work from home and she does most of her drinking of beverages from home. Thank God she's not doing it during the daytime and not during the podcast taping.
Oh, man.
Or during work hours, right?
if you start getting phone calls, then you might have to do a little intervention, maybe.
Well, I'll touch base with some of the staff to see. When you talk to Dana in the morning, does she seem all there? Or do you hear glasses clinking in the...
Oh, boy.
You know, in the background there, you know, a little
bottles popping. I like that. Glasses clinking, bottles popping. Right. That actually sounds like... Is that a song?
That's probably a rap song. It probably won a Grammy, you know, over the weekend. By another group that,
I was going to say that could be our theme song.
Yeah.
Bottles clinking and bottles popping.
Nice. I like that.
Glasses clinking, bottles popping. Well, yes.
Somebody wants to write a song, you know, about that. We'll put it at the show opening or closing for music.
There we go.
Thinking of music, any I dare you to listen to options that you're going to offer up?
You know, I know all of you listening are going to get so sick and tired of me talking about this man and this album, but I have to plug him because he won a Grammy yesterday.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Our boy Thundercat. It is what it is. Yes. If you're listening by chance, Thundercat, congratulations.
That's right.
You think he's listening?
That's right. Your future wife, Dana, is here to say congratulations.
Congratulations, man. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so that was awesome to see that he won for that album.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
And I was happy to see on the whole list of things, John Prine, who's more American folklore kind of music person, passed away during COVID. I mean, he was 1,000 years old. But he'd been around for a while. John Prine, I think, won one or two Grammys in memoriam, in a sense, for music that he had recorded in the prior time before COVID. So, well done, Thundercat. Still rocking out there. Or jazzing. Yeah. Whatever it is, you know. I mean, rock, jazz. Jazz rock.
It's just awesomeness.
Fusion.
All of that is just the best.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, his stuff's really, really good. I mean, I ain't going to doubt you, you know, fault you on that. So, yeah, congratulations on that Grammy and everybody else who I've never heard of before.
Dennis, stop playing. You know who those people are.
I don't know any of them. I don't know what's going on. But Dana, you know, I think we've ran out of time for the show today. So,
okay.
The good thing is there's always another episode. In fact, we'll have an interview on this Friday one. So that's even better. I want to thank
it's going to be out of control.
It's going to be. I want to thank you, Dana, my co-host, for joining us today on What's Brewing. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app and search for CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com, on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing Cisfa is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 73, recorded the morning of Tuesday, March 16th, 2021. Have a great day.
And have a great week.